All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Proverbs 18. While you're turning, I failed to mention that Benny has two purple hearts and what was the other one?
A bronze star.
Did you get a bronze star as well for his service? And so we have a hero in our midst here this morning. That's the bottom line. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When all this started, I would have gone over and joined, but they don't take old guys. So, but I'm glad that somebody like Benny was willing to go. All right, Proverbs 18. I want to read one verse, and I think I have preached from this verse before. It seems like maybe about 14, 15 years ago, I preached from this verse. I couldn't find the sermon. I looked for it. I couldn't find it. I got a bunch of sermons, as you can imagine. And I looked for it and got bored, so I quit looking. This is new. This is fresh. It's for today. And I want to share a little thought with you from this 10th verse. If you will look at it, it says, "The name of the Lord." And notice, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And every time you see that in the Bible, that is the name Jehovah, Jehovah God. Every time you see that, capital, all capital letters, you know that this is the name of Jehovah. This is God's covenant name. This is his covenant name. Please remember that. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now you'll notice here that Solomon does not say that the Lord is a strong tower. David said that. David said that many a time in the Psalms. But Solomon here says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And so I want to speak to you this morning a message that I've entitled "The Strength of the Name." The Strength of the Name. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. And then I've got about an hour's worth of sermon that I'm going to cram into about 25, 28 minutes. So you're going to have to listen carefully this morning. But let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Now, our Father, thank you so much for another opportunity to hear your word. And I pray that you will bless the word of God as it is proclaimed this morning. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to say what I need to say. There's a limited amount of time. And so I pray you'll help me to condense what's on my heart. But Father, help us to see the strength that is in the name of the Lord. May the Holy Spirit use the message and stir our hearts with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you read the Bible, it is noticeable that God understands that life is filled with strain and stress. The Bible describes life as a race, and it advises us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Those things that might slow us down, God says, get rid of those things so that they don't hinder you as you're running in the race of life. It describes life as a voyage and encourages us to use the careful skill of a pilot, being watchful of all those things, rocks and sandbars and reefs, those things which might cause us to run aground and might cause us to have damage to our vessel and cause us to sink. The Bible also portrays life as a battle, in which the warrior must be prepared to fight at any given moment. and where he or she should be ready to stand. And having done all, to stand. Just keep on standing. That's the command from the scriptures. And all of these figures that the Lord uses suggest to us the strain and the stress that is life. Each and every one of us will, sooner or later, come to a place when our strength is put to the test. We will come against things that will cause our strength to be weakened. And in these days of disaster, will either be days of great victory for us because we have overcome, or they will be days of defeat, and disaster can easily come our way. You see, if we don't run the race with patience, if we don't fight the battle by standing, if we don't carefully navigate life's seas, if we fail to stand and having done all just to keep on standing, we will wake up one day and find ourselves in a disastrous day of defeat. The day when we have to say, I cannot, is a day of defeat. Or it can be a day of victory. And whether it is disaster or victory depends entirely upon whether or not we believe what Solomon said in this 10th verse about the name of the Lord. He said in this verse, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Folks, there is no doubt about it. We are living in a wicked world. Satan is busier than ever. And the reason he is, John tells us in the book of the Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 12, the devil knows that he hath but a short time. Progressive liberalism has filled our schools, our government, our universities and colleges, our courts, our living rooms, our churches, and our world today is much different from the world that we used to know. Then there is the sin and the debauchery that plagues so many people. There is the sin that so many young people are getting tangled in these days. Drugs and illicit immorality and no morality, no standards, no convictions. Alcohol, pornography, the list just goes on and on. Things that the devil uses to sink his hooks into the flesh of men in order to hold them captured and bound in his evil grip. But let's not forget, in the midst of this evil age, this verse is still in the Bible. And let us not forget that the name of Jehovah God is a strong tower. Let's not forget that we have a place into which we can run. We can go into this strong tower and find safety in the midst of a terrible day. The devil is busy, but the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, I know that sometimes life can overwhelm us, and it can become a heavy burden to bear. But Christian, never forget that your God is greater than any forces that might come against you, and that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Now, there are three things that I want you to see that from the 10th verse of this 18th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Number one, let's think about the forces that are against us. You see, we have the idea here. Look at the middle part of the verse. The righteous runneth into it. When you're running, it's generally because somebody is after you. That's the implication. And you've got somebody after you, Christian. If you just realize that. You see, knowing your enemy and how your enemy operates is fundamental to winning the war against the enemy. I think that's one reason why this administration will not identify the enemy as who it is, radical Islamic terrorist. I think that's one reason. Knowing your enemy and how your enemy operates is fundamental to winning the war against him. Let's think for a few moments about the forces that are against us and then consider what this verse tells us is a place of safety. The forces against us are not flesh and blood. Oh, how we need to learn that. The enemy, the forces that are against us are spiritual forces. Make no mistake about it. Your enemy and mine does not sit down in Washington, D.C. Our enemy does not put on a suit. He does not carry a briefcase. Our enemy does not report to an office somewhere down in the District of Columbia. Our enemy is described and defined in the Bible as one who lurks about seeking whom he may devour. Paul said it this way, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Your enemy, friend, is not one you can defeat with bombs and guns or swords. Your enemy and mine is one who can walk right into the presence of God Himself in order to slander and to lie and to ask permission to attack us and sift us as wheat. That is what he did when he came after Job in the Old Testament. And God said to him, hast thou considered my servant Job? And you see, that question reveals an enemy who is patiently watching you and me. He is watching us. That question reveals one who is watching for the weakest link in the chain so that right there he may attempt to break it. It reveals one who is looking for the least guarded door so that he might kick it in and gain an entrance inside your house. Folks, your enemy is the devil. Your enemy is none other than Satan, the one who has been after every one of us since the Garden of Eden. Then I want you to think of how that enemy operates against us today. Again, folks, knowing your enemy is key. That is key to defeating your enemy. Understanding his strategy, how he goes about things. It is fundamental to defeating him and making sure that he does not defeat you. Let me show you how the devil works so often, so readily. And it's right there on the surface. And when I say it, you're going to go, oh yeah, I see that. First of all, he allows men to be successful without God. I don't know how many people I have met through the years who have everything that life can give, and they simply don't see their need for God. They have money, they have a house, they have cars, they have toys. What else do they need? And what they need is the Lord. But they don't see their need of the Lord. Why not? Because they've been blinded by the devil. They have been blinded to the reality, to the truth that they need God in their lives. Secondly, we need to realize that the devil is relentless in his efforts. Relentless. One fellow said to me recently, "Pastor, I was reading over in Revelation where the Bible says that one day the devil is going to be chained and cast into the bottomless pit." And I said, "Yes, that day is coming." He said, "Well, I think he's chained to me right now." And you know, there's a lot of people that feel that way. They are constantly oppressed by the devil, trying to keep them spiritually where they are. And you and I need to realize he's not going to let up. He comes at you in your youth. He torments you in your adult years, and he hounds your every step when you get elderly. He will not quit. He will not let up. He is your enemy, your adversary, and will always be there with an attempt to impede your relationship with God. But secondly, knowing that now, understand this. Notice with me that there is a place of safety. Thank God for that. There is a place of safety, dear friend. The Bible here says so. And what Solomon said is this: the name of Jehovah God, the name of the Lord, is a strong tower. Now let's take a look at that name Jehovah for just a few minutes. Jehovah is always in your Bible, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It is God's covenant name. Every time. The Jews reverenced this name of God above every other name. They would never speak it. They never said Jehovah. Never. It was too holy to even say. They understood that the name of Jehovah was the very foundation of Judaism, and they would never speak the word. Instead, they simply used a letter of their alphabet, the Shem, which means the name. The name. And they, instead of saying Lord, Jehovah, would simply say Shem, the name, because they reverenced that name so highly. On all of the pages of their ancient scriptures, whenever this name was used, it was revealed, it was written into the scripture by only using the consonants in the word. J, V, or H, V, H. J-H-V-H, Jehovah. They never pronounced it. It's called the Tetragrammaton. Four letters. And that was the name of Jehovah. They held a reverence for the name and felt that it was the very center of Judaism. And folks, to this very day, in 2015... the Jews will not say Jehovah. They will simply say Shem, the name. They will not even write it out. Boaz, our guide from Israel, when we went in December, has sent me several emails just keeping up and keeping in touch with me. And down at the end of his email, he closes it this way: may N space space E. He will not write may N-A-M-E and underline it or spell it all capital. No, it's capital N space space capital E. He won't even write it out to this day because that name is so highly, is regarded so highly. And he'll write out, may N blank blank E bless you richly. And of course he means Jehovah God. Now what does the name mean? Jehovah, what does it mean? It means this: the becoming one. It means this: the one who provides. All the Jews understand that the name Jehovah means the one who provides, the becoming one. They understood that Jehovah was the name of the one who becomes for and to his people all that they need. The one who is infinite provides for the one who is finite and gives him strength to handle whatever the devil and sin throw at us. And this is seen many times in Scripture. Many times as you read your Bible. And folks, when you read your Bible, read it with understanding and know that when you see Lord, all capitalized, it is a reference to the one who provides. Realize that it is a reference to the becoming one, the one who will provide for you whatever it is you need him to be. Let me give you an example. All the way back with Abraham in Genesis 22, you remember how God told Abraham to go to Mount Moriah and offer a sacrifice. So he got Isaac. And they went to the mountain. And as they were going, Isaac had the wood on his back. He had a little censer, a little bucket that had the coals, the fire in it. And they're walking along and he looks up at his daddy and he said, "Dad, we have the wood and we have the fire, but where's the lamb?" And Abraham said to him, "Son, the Lord himself shall provide himself a lamb." And when they got up on the mountain, Abraham said, "Now, son, get on the altar." And the obedient son got on the altar. He bound his hands and feet. And it was his intent to slay his own child as a sacrifice before God. And just as he was ready to plunge the knife into his son's body, he heard the bleeding of a ram, looked up, and in the bulrushes, in the briars, was a ram caught by its horns. And indeed, God did provide for Abraham. And God said to him at that time, "I am Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide." Let me take you a little bit further into time with Moses and the children of Israel. They were attacked by the Amalekites, and Moses stood on the hillside. And as the Amalekites attacked, the children of Israel fought back. And as long as Moses stood there with his hands up in the air, the children of Israel prevailed. But you know you cannot stand with your hands up in the air very long. Your arms get heavy. And his arms began to fall down. And when his arms fell, the Amalekites prevailed against the Israelis. And so he raised his hands again, and the battle turned, and Israel was winning. And they went down again, and he noticed this. And Aaron and Hur, his brothers, came and stood on either side of him, and they held his hands up in the air until the Amalekites were defeated. And God showed up and said to Moses, "Moses, my name, you can call me Jehovah Nissi. I will provide what you need. You need to learn that I will give you what you need because I am the Lord, the one who provides." And he said, "Call me Jehovah Nissi," which means "the Lord is my banner." And that same scenario is played out over and over and over in the Bible, using the name of Jehovah and then God telling us what it is that he becomes for his people. With Gideon, he was Jehovah Shalom, which means peace. With Jeremiah, he was Jehovah Tsidkenu. which means our Lord is righteousness. With Ezekiel, he was Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. So folks, right there is your strong tower. The name of the Lord is your strong tower. The name of Jehovah God is a place where you can flee for safety. Do you need provision? Do you need peace? Do you need righteousness? Do you just need to know that God is there? Well, the name of the Lord, the name of Jehovah God, is a strong tower. And that God is your God. Trust Him, my friend. Lean upon Him. Surrender your heart to Him. Yield your life to Him and place yourself completely in the palm of His hands. For greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. But then thirdly, let's look briefly at the proofs of safety. This verse is here, but where's the proof of it? Where's the proof of it? Folks, all of these men that I have already mentioned are all in themselves proofs of how safe men are when they enter into His name. These men all identify with Israel as a nation. And their history is Israel's history. Abraham was the father and founder of the Jews. Moses was their lawgiver and leader. Gideon was a weak little nobody, just like you and just like me. But yet he stood and he fought when the Canaanites were about to destroy them and run them out of the land. Jeremiah, the prophet, stood. He was the prophet of failure. And then Ezekiel stood once they had been captured by the Babylonians. And he stood on the banks of the river in total failure, but promised a day when Israel would once again triumph. All these men were able to sing the song of victory in God's name. In the strength of God's name, they triumphed when it looked like all was lost. In every case, these men were victorious over the stress and the sorrow of life. And there are multitudes of other examples. The Bible abounds with story after story of people who overcame the forces that were coming against them, and they found refuge in the name of God. For example, we know the story of Daniel. Man, Daniel knew conflict, did he not? He was persecuted. He ended up one day in the lion's den. But my friend, if you tell me that Daniel ended up in the lion's den, you're only telling me the superficial part of the story. Here is how you ought to tell the story. Daniel went into the tower when he was in the lion's den, and God delivered him. That's how you ought to tell the story. Time will not permit me to mention everyone who went into the tower. The tower is that is the name of Jehovah. Job went into the tower and he found comfort when he lost everything that he ever had. David went into the tower when his family turned against him and his own son tried to usurp the throne and kill him. And David said, I shall not be moved. What'd he do? He went in the tower. That's what he did. And he got the strength to keep on keeping on. He found courage and heart in the secret place where he gathered strength in the name of the Lord. Saints, apostles, prophets, preachers, pastors, martyrs have all found safety in that name. Now, folks, I know these are perilous times. I do not know what next year will bring. Will we see our government turn against God's people and begin to persecute those that are not willing to compromise? Probably so. You see, in Obama's transformation of America, that's part of the plan. That's part of the plan. I don't know what's coming, but I do know this. I know our forefathers fought and died to keep us free. I do know this. I know that George Washington testified that he often ran into the Strong Tower for help when they were forming this nation. I do know this. I know that Abraham Lincoln got on his knees and crawled into the tower during the Civil War. I know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and while in that tower, there is not a force on this earth or under the earth that can shake my faith. The righteous, the saved, can run into it, Solomon said. And when they do, they find safety. Now, Christian, what are you facing today? Are your kids breaking your heart? Are you about to collapse under the weight of your financial situation? Are forces attacking you from every single angle, and you just feel like there's just not a whole lot more you can take? Well, may I challenge you to run into the tower this morning. May I challenge you to run into the tower. Abraham did. Moses did. David did. Jeremiah did. Ezekiel did. Daniel did. They all ran into the tower. And when they did, they found safety in the name of the Lord, which is our strong tower. May God help us to run to the tower.